And welcome now to the midday for a Friday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and we have heard Mozart in the form of one of his flute quartets during the previous hour, and in this hour we'll be sampling some other things, including sort of a middle line symphony of Mozart's, which is going to be among the works performed under the auspices of something called the Mozart Miracle. That's the Madison Bach musicians performing this weekend a complete Mozart program. And welcome, Trevor Stevenson.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Happy Friday afternoon.
The kingpin of the Madison Bach musicians, founder and music director and conductor and harpsichordist, all rolled into one.
Yeah. And this weekend I'll be a forte pianist.
Right? That's true, because we're just getting a little beyond that. If we had more time, we could talk about keyboard evolution in Mozart's time.
Yeah.
Because he refers to both instruments.
Exactly. We even know that when he was a kid and on tour, that when his mom said that when there was a forte piano handy, he was super stunning, you know.
The instrument provided some subtleties not available to previous keyboards.
Yeah.
And so you have on this program, before we forget, go to madisonbachmusicians.org and find out more about it.
Yeah, it's Saturday night.
Saturday night. That's tomorrow night, 7:15, another entertaining pre-concert lecture. 8 o'clock, the concert itself, First Congregational Church in Madison. And then Sunday, that's April 7th, 2:45 is the pre-concert lecture, equally entertaining as the Saturday night one, no doubt.
And completely different.
That would be a challenge. And 3:30 would be the concert on Sunday. So all Mozart.
Yeah, we've been looking forward for years to doing an all Mozart program, and it's very fun to put together, you know, a kind of a all gut strings band, plus the winds. And of course, Mozart is the master of the fusion of strings and winds, and kind of, you know, that, like in his first symphony that we're going to do, the one he wrote when he was 8, the very first thing you hear is the strings being giddy and gossipy, and then the winds coming in answering by smoothing it all over and kind of looking at the eternal. And he has this, you know, dichotomy going all the time. And
so, I'm sort of guessing inspired by conversations or events in the Mozart household for the 8-year-old Mozart.
I can only imagine him jumping around, you know.
Of giddiness and control.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's right. Yeah, exactly. And dad being the ultimate control figure. Yeah, Leopold Mozart, who was a great composer and also quite an entrepreneur, realizing he had, you know, at least one, maybe two geniuses on his hands in Wolfgang and his sister Nannerl, taking him on the road and letting them play for everybody, and royalty included, but also kind of keeping a tight ship. Leopold did.
You can read it in the letters. Yeah.
We are going to start the program with this piece that Mozart wrote in London while staying there for several months with his father and sister.
That's the Symphony No. 1.
Symphony 1, right?
And eight-year-old.
We played this at a school this morning for a bunch of kids that were 8 years old. And it's a sobering thing. You know?
It's better just to listen to the music and enjoy and think not too much about your own life goals at the age of 8.
Exactly, right. You know, as the comedian Tom Lehrer said, when Mozart was my age, he'd been dead for 20 years. So I always love that quote. So we're going to start with that, which is just a three-movement piece, and then go into a later-in-life piece by Mozart, which is the Adagio and Fugue in C minor. It's incredibly rugged terrain. The fugue, Mozart had been studying a lot of Bach and Handel. He'd been every Sunday he would gather with his friends at Baron von Swieten's house, and they would read these Bach manuscripts. And Mozart was fascinated by the tonally challenging kind of fugues that Bach wrote, where the key gets lost. So this is one of them. It was originally for two pianos, the fugue was, and then he adapted it for strings. So we'll, you know, go from very happy to very dark. Almost sounds like Rameau and Bartok having a conversation sometimes.
Wow.
It is. It's very futuristic. And then there'll be a ballet. We're going to do several movements from a ballet that Mozart wrote, which scholars weren't even sure he'd written for some years, called The Little Nothings in English, Les Petits Rien.
And you have some dancers for that?
We have one dancer
who
will just be dancing as we play the movements. The orchestra will get tucked over into the corner, and the dancer will take the stage for that one. And the reason they don't know much about that piece is because the show that Mozart wrote it for closed after four performances.
Ouch.
So yeah, that hurts, right? And that was done in Paris while he was in Paris. And then I'm going to, and this is also in the first half, I'm going to play the Fantasy in D minor, which is a wonderful, probably a transcription of some kind of jam session that Mozart had at the keyboard.
Student's favorite.
Yeah, exactly, right. It starts with a, you know, very, you know, CSI Vienna, we always call it, very dark, you know, dark opening, and then goes into a very, you know, kind of a, you know, giddy and happy finale, much like the opera Don Giovanni. Its trajectory goes from, you know, very dark.
We're so happy that Don Giovanni got down.
Sucked into hell, exactly. So, and we'll also have the dancer will interpret that piece as well, which is, it'll be really fun. I love know, playing and having the dance going at the same time. Then soprano Ariadne Lee from Montreal will join us for two songs with forte piano, and we're going to hear a sample of those songs.
Briefly, here. Shortly.
These are songs in French. And maybe we should go to them and then talk about the rest of the program. The first one is about birds, and it says that birds, you're so fickle, you're always going to the warm where the warm weather is, so you can continue loving year round. And I'm sure it was a wink and a nod for that.
Oh, yeah.
And the second one is a song the narrator's recalling being out in the woods and coming across a cupid, sleeping cupid, who happens to look strangely like the character's beloved. The narrator makes the mistake of waking Cupid up and angering Cupid. Cupid basically with the arrow shoots the narrator, doesn't kill him, but you know, wounds the soul and pronounces a curse on the narrator that you will always be tortured by the love that you have lost.
So there.
There's two songs. Chelsea Shepherd will be singing these, and I will be playing forte piano. It's a recording we made a couple years ago.
Si tous les ans vous changez de climat, vous changez de climat, des gueules tristes et verts, des pluies nos bancages, ce n'est pas seulement pour changer de feuillage, mais pour éviter nos frimas. Mais votre destinée, oh,
lovely, delicate stuff from Mozart.
In French, no less.
Right? Raymond. Yeah. And we were just actually, the flute quartet that we heard in the previous hour was one of the things that he wrote in Paris.
Yeah.
In 1778.
Yeah, I think he had several little trips to Paris.
It was one of the places to go if you wanted to sell music or, you know, your talent.
Yeah, and that was Chelsea Shepherd singing the two songs in French, first about the birds and the second about the woods. And those will be on the program Saturday night.
That's right, and Sunday afternoon. Don't forget that. You should be there for that.
Right, exactly. The challenge of two different concert lectures, right? Yeah. So, and then just other things that will be on the program. The second half, we're featuring Symphony No. 29, and we're actually programming it in a fashion that they did in the 18th century, which is to break up the symphony. We're going to do three movements of it.
So.
And then soprano Ariadne Lee will come out and sing the Exultate Jubilate as kind of a interlude, right? And then we'll finish the symphony. And that's what they did in the old days.
Sure.
I seldom did a whole symphony at a take.
Yeah, in Beethoven's time, they did all kinds of novelty acts between movements of symphonies and concertos.
Dog and pony
show. Just about.
Right, exactly. And so it was...
It was a kind of an evening's entertainment, not so much you sit still for a symphony as welcome to our entertainment.
Exactly. And for this program, the winds will be all natural. There are two horns and two oboes. They're natural horns. There are no valves. When the piece changes key, they change the crook of the instrument, but they always are playing on the harmonic series of the key that you're in. And the advantage of that is that you just get a wonderful kind of blend and transparency in the sound with the rest of the orchestra. So, and then the oboes are classical oboes. They're neither Baroque nor modern oboes. And again, like the horns, they just have a wonderfully accurate and warm sound for this kind of music. And the strings are all gut strings played with transitional bows. So it's about a 19-piece orchestra.
Sure. People played with gut strings, almost to the beginning of the 20th century, I suppose.
As a point of reference, The Rite of Spring was premiered in 1913 on gut. Right.
Wow.
So I know.
As they say, that took a lot of guts.
It took a lot of guts. I know. The reason that's important is just the gut strings. The pitch is really kind of the very first thing you hear. In the thousandths of a second in which music happens, it kind of matters whether it's a pitch or maybe a more of a weightier sound. And so with gut, it's more related to dancing. It has a kind of a springiness of dancing in it. So that's why people take the trouble.
Well, without entertainment in between.
Yes.
Extraneous entertainment. shall we hear the minuet and finale of the aforementioned Symphony No. 29 in A of Mozart? Maybe, the first symphony he wrote that would actually make him an immortal composer, arguably.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. No, this is perfection, this piece. And A major, he always gave it great love. The form, it's his ability to write tunes that once they get in your head, they're there forever. Maybe even the middle of the night when you don't want them to be. They're woven together with a sense of form and, when to go to the next bit that is really just has never been equaled before or since. And the tunes just pour out of him. And
yeah, he's good at that.
Yeah. So I think we're going to hear the minuet, which has a pre-Beethoven hint, actually, this minuet does. And then the wonderful finale, which is a series of orchestral handsprings.
And this will be English Concert with that other Trevor Pinnock conducting. That is fun, lively stuff, and you can hear it. The entire Symphony No. 29 of Mozart with a little something in between the last couple of movements. That'll be the Madison Bach Musicians this weekend. They will be playing that in an all-Mozart concert, the Mozart Miracle, they're calling it. That would be Saturday, tomorrow, April 6th. 7:15 is the always entertaining pre-concert lecture. 8 o'clock, the concert itself. First Congregational Church in Madison, Sunday, April 7th. 2:45 is the entertaining pre-concert lecture. And 3:30, the concert. And it's an ensemble of how many, Trevor?
Orchestra of about 18. And then I'll be playing forte piano, sometimes in continuo with the orchestra, and other times solo with the singer, with the dancer. So it is a variety show. it is. Which is what Mozart would have done.
Yeah, in the spirit of how they used to do it.
Right. We're thrilled. And the beautiful acoustics at First Congregational Church, which is really kind of an 18th century building.
Every time I go in there, I'm in Philadelphia and expect to see, Benjamin Franklin walk in.
He said he might be there. So show up and look for him.
Yeah.
But it's something about the proportions of that room and the style. Music sounds lovely in there. So we're thrilled to do it.
MadisonBachMusicians.org. That's how you can find out more about those concerts of the Madison Bach Musicians this weekend. Thanks for stopping by, Trevor.
My pleasure, as always. Thank you.